fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I hope you're celebrating. You had a beautiful night last night and are celebrating today. This great day, welcoming the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only Son, that if you believed in him, that you would never die, but have everlasting life. That's what you're celebrating this morning, friends, is the gift of eternal life, the gift of God's love. That's why the Son came. Jesus came to save you, to redeem you, and to bring you home. Some of the passages were given last night's service and this morning's service at dawn and the Mass later in the morning today. One of the passages is taken from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Beloved, when the kindness and generous love of our God, our Savior, appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we'd done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope to eternal life." And he goes on to say, this is sure. This word is sure. You can take it to the bank. What's he saying here? We can break that open a little bit. If you take some of the earlier verses, which the church didn't include in the reading, but I think it matters. Paul's describing to us, and to Titus, who's writing it to the community who will end up receiving it. He said, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, and passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another." So he's describing and he's identifying with the fallen condition of the world. And he said, man, here's where we were, dominated by sin and without hope in the world. And he goes on to say, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared," God is a Savior. And what do we celebrate today? The goodness and loving kindness of God. God is good. God's plan for you, his plans for you are good. And he's motivated by love. For God so loved that he gave his only Son. And today when you think about that, when you're at Mass or when you think about the gift of Jesus, it's amazing and it's a wonder. And it's good to be amazed and to be filled with wonder. But at rock bottom, friends, hear the message that's being communicated to you. You matter to God. God loves you. You belong to God. You're God's idea. He moved the heavens and the earth to come to rescue you and to save you. You're precious in his eyes. The love of God is the great gift, right? And the love of God is what saves us and transforms and changes us. A loving God who is by definition mercy itself, when a rebellious people who he has created has turned against him, those he's created to love him and be in communion with him decided to follow the temptation of the enemy and to break from that and to be separated from him and breaking the Father's heart, he pursues us and he forgives us. He not only forgives us, he gives us his Son to become a sacrifice for our sin. And so Paul goes on. He says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his mercy." His mercy has come. What is God's mercy? He saved you. How has God shown his mercy to you? He saved you. What are we rejoicing about today? God saved me. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, what I celebrate today, is about the salvation of the world. But in virtue of his own mercy, how did he do it? By the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. That one simple sentence is just packed with revelation and understanding of God's saving work. How did he save us? How is that mercy revealed to us? By the washing of regeneration. What's he talking about? Baptism. What does baptism do? First thing it does, if you remember, we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. That death-directed dimension of our life, the resistance to God, the fallen flesh, sin itself, what it had to do in baptism. Why were we baptized? Because we had to be put to death. The old man had to die. And so what happens at baptism is we're united to the death of Jesus on Calvary, which is the means by which we can be saved. We can make a break from sin, where sin's power over us is broken because the precious blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. It's the blood of Jesus that breaks the power of sin, because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. So that's the first part of it, right? So that's what Paul's just talking about here. The washing of regeneration. You're regenerated. You're made new. You become a new creation. You're born again by water and the Spirit, Jesus said. Unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't become children of God. So the whole thing about Christmas is that the Son of God has come to make us like Him, to make us sons and daughters of God. How does that happen? Well, the problem that separates us from being sons and daughters of God, that thing which makes it impossible, the reality of sin's dominion over us, gets broken on Calvary in the blood of Christ. And so Christ in His wisdom unites us in the sacrament to that death, and that death purifies us, and we're regenerated now. We're in a position by God's grace that we can become children of God and be born again. How? By renewal in the Holy Spirit. Renewal in the Holy Spirit. We're renewed by the grace, the presence of the power of the Spirit that's given us in baptism. That's why Jesus said very clearly, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, the water puts us to death and brings us alive with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus communicates to us through that sacrament. That's why Catholics understand this is not just a symbol or a sign. It's much deeper than that. Regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace, that is, made just, brought in right relationship with God, by His gift. That's what that means. By the gift of Jesus' sacrifice and who He is, He puts us in right relationship with God. That's what we're celebrating today on Christmas. By God's mercy, I'm in right relationship with my Creator, and I'm destined for eternal life. Wow, what a gift. He said, and we become heirs. We talked about that yesterday. We're an heir. We inherit what belongs to Jesus. That baby in the manger that you're thinking about today, that you're remembering, it's that child who inherits all. He's the faithful Son who was obedient to the end, even unto death. And everything that belongs to the Father is given to the Son. He inherits the whole works, everything that belongs to God. Eternal glory in all of the heavenly kingdom belong to Jesus Christ. That child that's in the manger, that's why the wise men come. That's why they're led there to bend their knee and to give homage. And the shepherds and everyone, the rich, the poor, the king, everyone's being brought to Him at the nativity in that place of humility, where Christ in obedience comes and He's born, and the world has no idea. No idea. There's the King. There's the Savior. Right there. He doesn't need the power of kingdoms. He doesn't need all the money and the gold in the world. He needs the Father. And that's all He needs. And He moves forth in the humble presence of Mary and Joseph, who raised Him. And He became the great warrior who conquered the power of sin and death and made it possible. And now He's at the right hand of the Father, and it all belongs to Him. And guess what? He turns His heart toward us, as the Father has destined Him to do. And He said, come and inherit with Me. Come and receive the kingdom, all the treasures, everything your heart could possibly long for. I'm giving to you because it belongs to Me, and I love you. And so Paul tells us we become heirs in hope of eternal life. This saying is sure. I'm an heir. The down payment has been given. I've been brought to new life in Christ. And now I have confidence. I have confidence in Him that I already possess the promise of eternal life. Friends, that's why in every home, in every country in the world, where this day is celebrated, where Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is celebrated, no matter what hardship is going on around you, no matter how chaotic and nuts the world is, or how crazy and nuts the world's going to get, ultimately, friends, it doesn't matter. Today, lay hold of this truth. This saying is sure. You are an heir. Be confident. You are secure and safe in the hands of the Lord. Nothing on this earth, no matter how disappointing things can become, nothing on this earth can take away the thing that really matters most. God. Eternal life. Reigning with Jesus. Sharing in his glory. Living in the kingdom. And living among all those who have died in him. In absolute, total freedom. No more crying. No more tears. I mean, think about that. When we think about today as we celebrate the birth of our Lord, it's important to see that's the beginning of God's amazing final chapter of his work of salvation for his people. But we can also look to the end, remember? This season is not just about celebrating his coming the first time, but it's remembering that he's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Friends, we're called to rejoice, to understand the destiny that is set before us, and to take it in and to receive it. Revelation chapter 1 is a wonderful passage to read as well in this time, because it talks so much about the new heaven and the new earth. The king that you behold, this child, he's the king of the universe, and he's the one who's going to bring about the new heavens and the new earth. I want to just end on this Christmas day, this simple, brief show, the reading from Revelation chapter 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. That truth is being fulfilled in what we celebrate today. Because behold, in Jesus of Nazareth, Mary's son, the dwelling of God has come among men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Jesus has come to gather to his Father a people that belong to him. Those who have been baptized into his death and have been raised by his Spirit and carry the brand now of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. They've been purchased and they now live for him, fulfilling the calling to go forth and to radically love God and neighbor, and to radically extend his kingdom in the world. That's who we are. Let today celebrate what Christ has accomplished, and let it change us to become conformed to him so we can give back to him all that he has given to us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.